La Paloma the Pirate, and on Friday, September 15th, 2006, Pirate Davy Jones and I visited Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, and had a unique opportunity to hang out behind the scenes at the Oklahoma City Zoo Amphitheater with Flaming Lips and crew as they prepared to unveil the mothership. As part of this, we had a few minutes to hang out and chat with one of our musical heroes, Stephen Drozd, and we'd like to share this with all of you. This is Pirate Paloma.
And Pirate Davy Jones.
And we're here backstage in Oklahoma City at the Oklahoma City Zoo.
Amphitheater.
At the Oklahoma City Zoo Amphitheater.
Yeah, with Stephen Drozd. Just so you know, from the Flaming Lips. And we're sitting here, we're about to do a sound check and see if our mothership's going to work. And got about 5 minutes here, so we're going to riff.
Right, and that, by the way, is background noise, the mothership landing in the background. So we'll be hearing this later on today. How many days did it take to build the mothership?
Man, Wayne and this local lighting and sound company, Toucan Lighting and Sound, they started on this really months ago, and any free time Wayne would have, he'd get with the guys from the company and they sort out the dimensions and stuff. So it's slowly, and really slowly over a long period of time, has been taking shape. I would say like 3 or 4 months or something, maybe. I don't know. Because, we have to leave and go on tour, and he couldn't be here to work with them and stuff. But even last night, we pulled into town because we had a day off yesterday between Atlanta and the show today. And I just went home, and Wayne was up here all day with the lighting company, and they worked on the final trussing and all that kind of stuff. And I really don't know what all is involved, but it's pretty insane. So,
but do you think it'll be dangerous?
even up to yesterday, I was really worried about it. But when I got here today and took a look, I think we're going to be all right. I mean, because the... whoever rigged it, it's like a separate rigging company, and they do this, they do rock shows all the time.
Okay.
And and any light show is like that. They're rigged like that. But for us, my source of not agitation, but my source of worry was that, the thing sort of, it descends and then ascends, and then we're climbing out of the back of it. So.
Oh, wow.
I was a little worried about that, but I think we're going to be fine.
So you will be climbing out of the spaceship.
Yeah.
Some people have been critical of the political innuendos in the Mystics album, or even during the tour, as we have the screens in the back. How do you feel about this?
I think that, number one, I think people, the At War with the Mystics is becoming a more political album than we intended when we were recording it, and that's just the deal, I mean, I know when we were recording the one, we were thinking about the 2004 election and all that crap. But really, that was just, in some ways, it's, Wayne likes to become obsessed with different types of subject matter. And that was, like, the idea of the political protest song was something he wanted to try that format, So for what that's worth, I think the record has become more political as it's been out. And people have taken it and listened to it. Number one, I can't imagine someone like a staunch Republican coming to a Flaming Lips show. I just really can't imagine it. But I guess they're out there, And if they're out there, I'm not going to discourage them. But I would also say, well, don't you think this is total bullshit what's going on right now? I just saw on the news yesterday, it's like Afghanistan is producing more raw opium and poppy than they were like 6 years ago. Supposedly it's 30% more than the demand.
Yes.
Which is like, man, I wish that would have happened when I was a junkie, because I could have got some cheap heroin, but, I'm kidding, mostly. No, it's like, it's crazy. So, even if you're a Republican, I mean, I know there are a lot of Republicans that think Bush is full of shit, but not enough of them. So, I would say, if you come to our shows and that surprises you, then that surprises me. I'm not sure what to say to that.
Surprise us as well.
Yeah.
So, what are you thinking when you're on stage?
There's a few different levels I can exist in, right? Well, the first realm, which is definitely at the beginning of the show, Is my stuff gonna work? That's the first level. So I'm playing, but in my frontal brain, the main part of my brain is focusing on things not breaking down or going wrong. Right? So then the second level is hoping things sound good on stage, right? And then when things are working and things sound good, I finally get to the third level, which is actually thoroughly enjoying playing and just like feeding off the energy of the crowd and just really enjoying playing music. So I try to get to that place every show. The other night in Atlanta, I would say it's one of our top 20 best shows since I've been in the band. The crowd was just incredible. The venue was great. The energy was there. Everything was working. Everything sounded good. It was like, so I finally got to the, I got to that level of the sheer enjoyment of playing music and loving playing and singing and, you know, feeding off the crowd. So does that make any sense?
Yes, that must be one of the greatest highs, I think. I mean,
when you actually get to that point, it's really incredible. So, but usually
it's
you're
like
worried about the first
high.
Two things. It could be like a runner's high, yeah. Even though I've never experienced that, because I've never run for long enough to experience it. So,
how do you feel as you mature and get older, things change in terms of what your output is?
Right, right. That's a hard one to answer because there's so many variables involved in that. You know, I think in some ways the older you get, the harder it is to entertain yourself musically. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you're 22 or 23. You have this whole backlog of ideas that, as long as you've been, at least for me, as long as I've been thinking about music, these are things I wanted to try to do. So and then I joined the Lips and I got to try to do all these things. And then you progress from there and you're, you know, I wouldn't say mature, but you evolve or mutate or whatever. And now I feel like we're to a point where it's harder and harder for us to impress ourselves or to do something that we feel is different for us. And that's one of the main things. I think another thing is, we're trying to appeal to people our age as we're getting older, but we're also trying to appeal to like younger kids,
right?
Because that's just hard to do as you get older. You know, it's like, I know Lou Reed makes records and Bob Dylan still makes records, but I can't imagine any 18, 19 year old kid wants to hear those records. Actually, I don't even want to hear those records because I just think they're dull, you know. So for us, we're trying to appeal to people with us as we get older. We're all moving on together, but like the Yeah 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 song, you know, or Free Radicals, those songs just feel like I could see like a 12 year old kid liking that kind of stuff.
It's a very dangerous thing to do exactly what you want because you cannot know yourself.
So for us, I would say that's one of the main things that's changed. So as we're getting older, we're trying to, maybe it's because we're afraid of death, and we're trying to, you know, to fight off aging and getting old and death. Yeah. So we're trying to appeal to younger people, but it seems like it's kind of working. So
we believe so. I mean, I could say for the record that our teenage daughter really loves music.
See, that's a good spot. So we got you and your kids. And your kids.
I mean, they rock out in the car to the Yeah 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 song.
Covering all our bases there. Hopefully your parents, if your parents like us, then we're really set.
Well, my mom was disappointed that I haven't taken her to a Flaming Lips show, so yeah.
It could be three generations,
like the baby
man.
Boomers and the toddlers. And yeah, have you thought about making a children's album?
Don't we, every record?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I thought it was called Klaus Tastes Metallic.
Yeah.
I'm sure we've kicked around the idea of making a, you know, proper children's record, but not anytime soon. I actually did some stuff with Steve Burns, a guy from Blues Clues.
I heard about that, yeah.
But we did a new thing where we wrote a song that's going to be on Jack's Big Music Show on Noggin. Mm-hmm. And it's an episode where Jon Stewart's going to be the reporter, and he's looking for groundhogs, and this is going to air around Groundhog Day. And Steve and I wrote a song about groundhogs. It's got this tasty, fat, like, Lips kind of sound and riff. And he sings all about groundhogs, and we shot a video for it with a bunch of kids, and that's going to be on Noggin in February. So that's exciting.
Fabulous.
That's great.
But the Lips, I'm not sure if we'll be doing like a children's record anytime soon. Even though every record inevitably has a couple of songs that could be construed as children's songs. This here giraffe, I mean, come on.
This here giraffe was never caught complaining. He wouldn't take skin off your back.
When you're playing for a crowd or doing your recording, do you ever stop and think what type of impact your music is going to have?
It depends. It's that other question about, well, there's the first level of worrying about stuff breaking down, the second level of things sounding good, and there's that third level, and that's part of it. It's like you get to that point where everything sounds good and you're enjoying playing, and that's what I said, you're feeding off the crowd, and really, that's when I really feel a deeper connection, and I could see this, you know, 20-year-old kid who's just like, and yeah, it means a lot to me, you know. I hope that... I hope they walk away feeling that we're positive people who care about other people and all that. Of course I do, you know. And of course we've got Wayne, so how could you think anything other than that? So,
that's right.
But yeah, I think about it all the time, you know, especially because I can't write lyrics so much, you know. But I mean, my musical ideas are all, I try to convey some emotional thing that I'm trying to get out. And then Wayne always has these lyrics that complement it perfectly, you know. And so I feel that when I look out in the crowd and I see someone really moved by that, I feel like, well, then this is what I'm trying to do. And I've got a pretty great job here. And, did I answer your question? I'm not sure.
Would you say that's what actually pushes you through the tour as well? I mean, you know, there are different things that motivate
Through touring?
Through getting through. I mean, it must be exhausting.
Oh, sure. I mean, the best part of every day is actually playing. So, I mean, sometimes you have a show where it doesn't feel very hectic, and you have a couple of friends show up, and you can just kind of hang out and sit around and have a couple of drinks or whatever. And then other days it's super hectic, and the only good part of the day is the show. So, but that's what we're here for. We're here to play the shows, and luckily that's the best part. So it keeps me from going totally insane.
Normally, because we're pirate pods, we ask people at the end of the interview to say "arg" like a pirate. But I had something in mind for you. Would you say thank you? And only the way that Stephen can say thank you at the end of a song.
Thank you. But no, but I, you know, since it's pirate radio, actually, I want to go back to 1989. This is way before the pirate craze.
Yes.
It seems to be sweeping the world now.
Yes.
A friend of mine, me and Paul Paproth, we tried to start a band called Pirate Phobia. And all our songs, well, we had three songs, were all about fear of pirates. And my pirate name was Blackhead. And everyone thought it was Blackhead because I had nice and easy blue black long hair and a nose ring. They thought that. But it was actually because I had a bunch of blackheads on my nose. So that was my pirate name was Blackhead. And he was Reaper. And there you go. So
thank you. Yeah. Thanks, Stephen.
You're the absolute best.
You're so radical. I think you wanna start.